You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You almost lost it, huh? But not quite. You were watching what I was doing, weren't you?
Yep. From afar, pal.
There you go.
Well?
Well?
You want to talk about something tonight or something?
Like what?
We could talk about Sugar Bear and Baby Ferret, though.
Really?
Yeah, because we never got to talk about Baby Ferret and Sugar Bear.
Well, what would you like to say about Baby Ferret and Sugar Bear?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say, Sugar Bear, I like Sugar Bear, and he...
Well, who's Sugar Bear?
Oh, Sugar Bear is my dog, and the phone's ringing, honey.
It is?
Yeah, see? Look, you know!
I see, but we're not taking calls right now.
Oh.
We're talking about Sugar Bear and Baby Ferret.
Yeah. Well, Sugar Bear is my dog, and, when he puts his ears up, he's so funny.
Yeah, he is kind of funny, isn't he?
Yeah, but when my dad gets outside, and then Sugar Bear jumps all over the place, and when we're ready to take a walk, he follows us.
Well, he likes to walk with us.
Yeah.
And he protects us.
Yeah.
And if anybody comes near here, what does he do?
He barks, but he doesn't bite.
Well, he doesn't bite us, but he'll bite anybody that he doesn't know that tries to be mean.
Yeah, if he tries to bite you, then you don't want him to bite you, and then you try to hit him, he'll bite you.
Oh, he'll tear you up. Well, what about Baby Ferret?
Baby Ferret, my mom gave her away now.
Yeah, but she needed somebody that would play with her more.
Yeah, but...
Because you were so engrossed in your dog and playing outside, and Baby Ferret didn't like that.
Yeah, but when Baby Ferret was starting to go, I went upstairs to my dad's computer room, and then I was crying.
That's true. But I think Baby Ferret is much happier where she is, don't you?
Yeah, but...
You miss her.
Yeah, but you know what? Why don't we take calls and maybe they can...
Well, I have a program planned, honey. We can't do that. You want to get your little chair and listen?
Well, how about if I listen and...
Get your phones and put them on. Get your chair.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Okay, folks. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this short pause. And got a lot of things to talk about tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Hatch, Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican, or he calls himself a Republican. He's really a far-left liberal socialist who was instrumental in trying to get the Conference of States going so that he could destroy the Constitution for the United States of America. He's not a Republican. He's not a conservative. He's a charlatan. Now he is pushing the anti-terrorism bill, and he wants to get it through sometime this week to commemorate the Oklahoma City bombing. And we've got to put pressure on these people to stop this right now. We're not going to let them destroy the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. We're not going to let them take away God's gift of freedom to the people of this nation. And we're not going to let them lie and cheat and manipulate us into their totalitarian socialist one world government. And we've got to wake up as many people as we can, as soon as we can, because we're almost down to the wire, ladies and gentlemen. They are getting a little panicky. They are scared to death of the militia. They're doing things that I don't think they wouldn't ordinarily have done. They're trying to speed things up and make it come about much faster. What they're going to do is create an atmosphere in this country of fear and hatred and loathing. And eventually they're going to do something stupid, and Americans are going to restore the Constitution to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later, because I'm sick to death of some of the rhetoric that I'm hearing, which means either some of these militia people are actually socialist provocateurs in disguise, or they're so stupid that it's absolutely pathetic. I'll be talking about that. But in the meantime, contact your senators and representatives. Last week, many of you protested the actions of some of the Republicans in the House who are pushing the terrorist bill. Make sure that that you continue. Now you need to contact your senators and representatives. And these are the numbers, 1-800-962-3524. That's 1-800-962-3524 or 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. One more time for you slow pokes. 1-800-962-3524 or 202-224-3121. There is nothing in this bill at all, either the House or the Senate version, and there will be nothing in the combination of the two after it comes out of committee that would have prevented the Oklahoma City bombing from occurring or any other act of terrorism. Nothing would have prevented the Unabomber bombings. We already have enough laws on the books. This is not about preventing terrorism. It is about destroying freedom. It is about demonizing American patriots. It is about destroying those who would protect the freedoms of all people in this country so that they can enslave those who are left after they get rid of those that they consider their enemies. Both versions of the government terrorist bill or anti-terrorism bill are nothing but a power grab, ladies and gentlemen, our constitutional rights. Is a bold-faced attack on the second article and amendment, and it gives the president and other agencies of government unbelievable powers. It could take away the right of habeas corpus. We must stop this bill. Call, write, fax, go down to the local office of your representatives and senators and beat on their desk in their face and tell them their history if they do this. They'll never get elected to another office, not even dog catcher. And then follow it up, ladies and gentlemen. You must. Also coming up,
Excuse me, honey.
What?
Well, I changed my mind now that I wanted to leave.
Well, but that's okay.
All right, bye.
Bye. See you later.
Bye.
Put your headphones up.
All right.
Okay. Thank you for helping start the broadcast.
All right.
And I hope you continue to get bolder and bolder until you just rip this microphone out of my hand and take over the whole broadcast. That will be a proud day for me. Committee for Waco Justice. The Committee for Waco Justice will sponsor two memorials to the 24 men, 35 women, and 23 children who were murdered as a result of federal actions against the Branch Davidian religious community outside of Waco, Texas, in what has become to be known as the Waco Massacre, that has given the militias their battle cry of no more Wacos. It occurred on February the 28th and April 19th, 1993. Members have chosen the theme to commemorate Hillary's book, It Takes a Village. The theme is, quote, FBI killed the village and its children, end quote, to remind the public that the Davidians were a multiracial, multinational community with a long history of cooperation with their neighbors and the larger community and law enforcement. If you don't believe that, ask the local sheriff down there. He'll tell you. On April the 18th, there will be an erection of crosses at the Ellipse from noon to 5 p.m. at the Ellipse directly south of the White House in Washington, D.C. You're welcome to come and participate. Members will erect 82 crosses, display a banner reading, FBI killed a village and its children, and fly the Davidian flag. On April the 19th, there will be a press conference at the FBI headquarters at noon. Members will display the above-mentioned banner and flag. Speakers will include committee member Andrew Williams, who will connect the government's destruction of the Davidian community to the scapegoating of drug users, gun owners, and cults. Committee member Carol Moore, author of the mass market paper book, The Davidian Massacre, who will describe evidence of government crimes like the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms murder of the Davidians during the Waco Massacre from helicopter gunships. The FBI's deliberate sabotage of negotiations, the FBI lies to Attorney General Janet Reno, and that in no way absolves her of any guilt. She is known as the Butcher of Waco, and the criminally conceived and executed gas and tank attack that led to the fire that killed 76 Branch Davidians. The book is published by Gun Owners Foundation, whose director, Larry Pratt, recently was falsely accused of bigotry. Alan Forsler will be there speaking, a member of the Fully Informed Jury Association, who will speak about the injustice done the 8 Davidian prisoners during their trial and issues relevant to their appeals. Chasevsky is the proper pronunciation, national coordinator of the Libertarian Party Council of State Chairs, who will speak about government excesses and federal law enforcement. William Thomas will be there, a member of the Washington, D.C. Peace Group Proposition 1, who will speak about a peace activist's views on Waco and the anti-terrorism bill. During both events, members will observe moments of silence for the Davidian victims and prisoners and for the 168 victims of the criminal April 19, 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, widely believed to be the result of, they say here, anger over the federal massacre of the Davidians. Our investigation shows that is not true. It was a deliberate bombing of a federal building by international socialism, just like Hitler did in Germany with the Reichstag in order to help bring oppressive legislation to be passed through the Congress to bring this country to its knees, destroy freedom, hasten the promulgation of world government. It is America's Reichstag. The Committee for Waco Justice approves of the FBI's tactful handling of the Freeman standoff in Montana, as do I, as does the intelligence service and the Second Continental Army of the Republic. Nevertheless, members demand prosecution of all Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Federal Bureau of Investigation agents and officials responsible for the deaths of the 82 Davidians, and also for the deaths of Vicki Reaver and her son, the April the 19th, the year that that happened. And members demand immediate pardons and freedom for the 8 remaining Branch Davidian prisoners who should not be in jail at all. So, that ought to give you something to think about. Remember, April the 19th is Friday. I dread Friday. Because if they go true to form, they're going to kill somebody or blow something up or massacre a whole group of people again this year in the spring ceremony of the sacrifice required by the god Baal in the mystery religion of Babylon. That's what it's all about. If you don't believe that, get off your butts and start studying. I've proven it over and over and over again. Now, this is what I want to talk about right now. I'm going to read this to you. It makes me sick. And there's too much of this crap going on. Either these people are socialist provocateurs trying to instigate a revolution in this country to establish socialism as the government of not only this country, but the world, or they're the stupidest bunch of jerks that ever put on shoes in the morning. And I'll tell you right now, you better get a handle on it. You better get these people out of your militias and out of your leadership and out of your organizations and send them on their way. Send them packing and tell them to shut up. They don't represent anybody. And they don't. This is from the Canton, Ohio paper, Tuesday, April 16th, 1996. The headline is, the name of the paper is The Repository, Canton, Ohio. It's on page A3, Tuesday, April 16th, 1996. That's today, folks. Federal attack would be act of war. Federal attack would be act of war. Columbiana militia leaders group prepared to retaliate if freemen are harmed. By Christina Wise, repository staff writer. I quote, as the standoff in Montana continues, the leader of an Ohio unorganized militia group says his people will view any aggression by the government toward the freemen as an act of war. I believe that if they kill these people in Montana, that a defensive action is called for, Don Voss said. 13 states have agreed that it will be the federal government declaring war on the people, and at that point we will take out the federal government. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? These are fools. He says, we will stop the federal government in its tracks. Voss is referred to as the Brigadier General of the Columbiana County Unorganized Militia. He said, militia members in Columbiana County are among those who will fight. There are a lot of good people in Columbiana County, Voss said. There are a lot of people who sit on the fence, who don't believe this can happen in America, but there are a lot of people in Columbiana County who will stand. Voss, who declined to say how many members his militia has, said that the militia would not declare war against citizens, just against representatives of the federal government. Voss is in Montana to monitor the situation and to report what he sees to members back home. He offered to serve as a negotiator between the freemen and the government, but was turned down. I wonder why. With rhetoric like that, he shouldn't even be in Montana. Earlier this month, he sent letters to militia members across the country asking them to come to Montana. He said that more members are expected to come out from Ohio to the 10,000-acre ranch owned by the freeman, Lyle Chamberlain, where he and others are staying. Voss said they are about 50 miles away from the standoff at the Freeman Ranch. Voss says he and other militia members in Montana will join the fray on the Freeman side if the standoff turns into a shootout. We're not here for an offensive, Voss said, but we would go there to help defend the Freeman if they're fired on. He has been sending reports of black helicopters and armored personnel carriers to the troops back home, as well as affidavits purportedly written by relatives of Leroy Schweitzer that say the Freeman leader is being tortured. In Ohio, David Lang, a representative of the Columbiana County Militia, agreed that militia actions would be defensive as opposed to offensive. But the definition of defensive is somewhat hazy. Well, I guess it is, where on the one hand, you're saying you're going to be defensive, on the other hand, you say you're going to take the government down. That's double talk. Not only double talk, it's stupid double talk. What do you think, everybody's stupid, Mr. Voss? Think they can't read you like a book when you talk like that? And it's not all that you've said. He goes on, I can't show you. Oh, defensive as opposed to offensive. But the definition of defensive is somewhat hazy. Ask specifically what action local militia would take if the Freemen are fired on, Lang declined to elaborate. I can't show you everything in our treasure chest, Lang said. It's not proper. We would take it as a very serious act by the FBI or the government. It would be a very serious act. Like Voss, Lang said he is concerned about what he perceives as a government cover-up of the treatment of Leroy Schweitzer by federal agents. Last week, Montana FBI agent Tom Ernst denied the allegations. If it resolves peacefully, then I guess it's resolved peacefully, Lang said. If it doesn't, I would say there's going to be a revolution. Revolution? Oh, really? Just what are you going to turn over and what are you going to install in its place? And who are these revolutionaries? That socialist rhetoric. That's self-destructive. It's guaranteed to put you probably in a standoff one of these days with no help. Because nobody's going to help a revolutionary in this country. Americans aren't interested in a revolution. At all. Only socialists and communists want a revolution in this country to destroy this country forever. Where in the world do some of you get your brains? I'm having trouble finding F.W. Woolworth anymore. That's where idiots used to get their brains. Across Ohio, it says, law enforcement agents have been on the alert for any unusual activities. Last week, Attorney General Betty Montgomery sent a memo to police across the state reminding them of Friday's anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing and the destruction of the Branch Davidians at Waco, Texas. In Columbiana County, sheriff officials say they know of the situation but are not taking any special measures. We're basically aware of it, said Deputy Sergeant Alan Wong, but other than heightening our awareness, we have no reason to believe anything else will happen. We're not watching people's movements. Well, I have every reason to believe that something will happen. International socialism will make something happen. If they don't, it's going to surprise me right out of my chair. Already, there's been a bomb placed in a car, and a government agent has been wounded. I think two people were wounded by that bomb. And a phone call was made warning a government agency of the bomb, saying that Timothy McVeigh is alive and well. Now, what kind of rhetoric does that sound like? And then there was a bomb scare just within the last couple of days in Long Beach, California, in a government building. And the caller said that he represented Timothy McVeigh. That sounds like people we know all too well, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Really? It's no patriot, I can tell you that. It's no member of any legitimate constitutionally and lawfully formed militia. I can also tell you that. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody in this country who wants to bring on a revolution is an enemy of the Republic, is my enemy, and is the enemy of the Second Continental Army of the Republic, and every patriot and every legitimately, constitutionally, lawfully formed militia in this country. You want to talk revolution to me? You better be ready to go down, because I'll be the first one opposing you. There will be no revolution in this country by anyone. Period. You're not going to take down the government. If you try it, you will be facing my weapons and the weapons of that force that I represent, which is sizable, I can assure you. And every other patriot and American and legitimately and constitutionally and lawfully formed militia in this country, you're not going to take down the government. You're not going to go after and kill all the representatives of the government either, because we're not going to let you. There's not going to be any of that French Revolution, communist, socialist crap bullshit in this country. And you're not going to instigate it, Mr. Voss and Mr. Lang, or Mr. Olson, or Mr. Kornke, and all of the other idiots out there who are trying to do your best to bring something like that about. It's not going to happen. And if it does, you're going to be the first ones that go down. That's a promise. If Americans move to do anything in this country, and eventually I believe they will be forced to do so, it will be a restoration to restore the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to their legal and lawful place and rightful place as the supreme law of the land. It will be to clean up the government. It will be to arrest and hold for trial under the law those who have committed treason. It will be to restore the law, to enforce the laws of the Union, to suppress the insurrection that is currently going on, and to repel the invasion of anyone who might come to help that insurrection. I am tired of listening to fools. I'm tired of playing with idiots. I am tired of watching all of you children run around, chase your tail, spouting off with rhetoric that you don't even know the meaning of. You have no idea of the consequences of your rhetoric or your possible actions in your attempts to fulfill your rhetoric. Now, I hope that there are enough of you out there that understand what I'm talking about, that you'll take these people and get them in control or get rid of them and begin to be responsible Americans. If you're not, then I have to ask this question. What are you? Why are you furthering the socialist agenda with your rhetoric and your actions? What is all this baloney about taking down the government? What is all of this bullshit about fighting a war with the federal agents in Montana when they have shown tremendous restraint? They have behaved properly. They are doing the right thing. Are you becoming one of those that we are against, and that you are judging them guilty before they have even committed any crime? What is your problem? Have you gone over the hypocritical edge, and now you are mouthing the words of those that we have opposed? That you yourselves are doing more to destroy freedom in this country than the socialists possibly can if we all stay together and do the right and proper thing? I think we're beginning to see who the provocateurs are. International socialism. And who are really patriots, and really Americans, and really militias.
I'll be right back after this short pause. You better get a handle on it, folks. Are the real Americans going to leave you to your fate? And we will restore properly what needs to be restored. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you, as always, by Swiss America Trading. Remember last year when I was broadcasting from Waco, Texas, and it's the, not last year, but when the Waco massacre occurred, seems like such a short time ago, doesn't it? I was broadcasting from Waco, Texas, and I said on the air, because I had assessed the situation, I saw what was happening, I saw the symbols being used, I saw the tanks and the armored personnel carriers, I listened to the BATF and FBI agents in the bars where they frequented, I mingled with them, I talked to them, I listened to their bragging and their epithets and their predictions of what they were going to do to the Davidians, and I broadcast on the air that if Americans didn't come in mass and walk onto that property and stand between those federal Nazi jackbooted thugs and the Branch Davidians, that they would all be murdered. In response to that, that very night, they burnt down WWCR, burnt it to the ground in an attempt to shut me up. Well, it didn't work. We got back on another station, and we broadcast to the world what was happening in Waco, Texas. And I don't have to tell you what that was. But that was all because of Swiss America Trading, ladies and gentlemen. And I was able to tell the world from the site what was happening to those poor people. You owe Swiss America a debt of gratitude. You owe them some loyalty. And if you're going to do business with somebody who is in the precious metal business, I suggest you show that gratitude and that loyalty. And while you're at it, I hope that you will thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. So call Swiss America. Get your hands on some real money. Prepare for what is still to come. We're in for some hard times, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-289-26 That's 1-800-289-2646. And do it now. You'll be glad that you did.
stood against them. Proud adversary, and sent them homeward, his things again.
The hills are bare now, and autumn leaves lie thick and still. O'er land that is lost now, which those so dearly held
and stood against them. Bowed adversary and sent them homeward to think again.
Well, folks, I guess you can tell from the music that I want to continue our discussion about Braveheart tonight. You see, the last thing I told you last night before I signed off was that I had told you the truth. I had missed the movie when it had come around, and I had been encouraged by everyone from all over the country. I received calls and letters that I had to go see Braveheart. Well, if the movie came up here, I didn't see it. I didn't even know it was here, so I missed it. And there are not too many movie theaters up here. There are two over in Pine Top Sholo area. And there's one little movie theater down here in Springerville. That's it, that I know of. If there's another one, I don't know anything about it. And so if Braveheart came, I missed it. But just recently, about a couple of weeks ago, Braveheart came to the video stores. And it was hard to get our hands on that tape, but we finally did, and I watched it. It brought tears to my eyes. It brought an emotion to my chest that I haven't experienced in years, ladies and gentlemen. And it was an extremely moving experience. Anyone who is so involved in something like what I am involved in is going to feel, I believe, the same way. I can't speak for everybody. Maybe they won't. But I believe sincerely in my heart that they will. And I was amazed last night that so many of you missed the most basic. And the reason I did that, folks, I didn't want you to, I didn't want any of your calls to be affected by anything that I might say about that movie. I wanted to hear from your hearts what you really thought about it and what you learned from it. And I was amazed that every caller missed the most important precursor for everything that happened in that movie. And I'm going to talk about it, but first I'm going to read this that I received today. It says, Bill, I did not know whether this was suitable, but I thought it was worth your attention considering your interest last night. My wife and I watched Braveheart on Monday night, right before your show. I set the tape, went to bed, and then listened to your show on my drive to and from work on Tuesday as usual. When you got to the Braveheart discussion, I was excited to hear it since we had just watched the movie last night. You see, Braveheart had a powerful impact on my views of our fight for our freedom. Parts of it brought tears to my eyes, and I don't cry during movies. In summary, the key points I picked up, one, William Wallace learned that one must first know how to fight with his mind and then his hands. Two, classical education, learning about human nature, is invaluable. Three, Mel Gibson's message sounded exactly like your comments on Thursday. March the 11th, 1996, when you had Michelle on your show. In effect, no army of paid soldiers can defeat a nation of people united under a common bond of freedom, because freedom fighters fight with brave hearts. I picked up a strong undertone to the mysteries throughout the movie, especially with respect to how the king ruled and manipulated people. It appeared to me that William Wallace also understood the mysteries, but chose the truth instead. And finally, a question. Was this rebellion the peasants' rebellion that you discussed in your mystery series? Take care and keep your brave heart. Signed, Ken. P.S. I also gained a new respect for Mel Gibson. Well, the answer to your question is no, it wasn't the peasants' rebellion. That took place in Great Britain. But the rest of your letter was on target. But you still didn't catch the most important precursor to everything that happened. And I want to see if any of our callers tonight can figure it out. And if they can, that's great. If they can't, I'll tell you before I sign off tonight what it is that you've all missed that's so important about that broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
It's Cooper.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to say last night I couldn't get in. I think it was about freedom, the last words he said before they chopped his head off.
Well, that's correct, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Not what you're looking for.
Well, I'll tell you at the end of the hour if nobody guesses it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you think you know what it is, give me a call. It's important. It is so important, ladies and gentlemen, that I can't believe that you missed it. And I can't believe that the phone is not ringing. For the first time in the history of this broadcast, when I've opened the phones, there, between that first call and right now, there's been a long, dead pause, and that's never happened in the history of this broadcast, which means that I made a lot of you think. Let's see if this caller can get it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. Good evening. Richard calling you from Oklahoma. What I got out of the movie is that he didn't take the fight to anybody until the fight was brought to him. So
that's true.
That's was the underlying message that I got out of it. But I think it comes down to choices. There's all going to be a time where we're going to have to make a choice where we're going to, you know, live as a slave or die as a free person. And you know, when it comes right down to it, that's the choice that we're all going to be faced with. But anyway, I just wanted to call and make that comment.
Okay, that's not what I was looking for, but you're right on a couple of things. Number one, in the beginning of the movie, he wasn't interested in fighting anybody.
Right.
They came to get him and wanted him to join the underground, the resistance against the king's soldiers and the oppression that they were living under. And he said, no, I don't want any of that. I want to farm the land and have some kids. And it wasn't until they actually brought the oppression to bear on him that he became interested in fighting them. And that's the way it is in this country right now. So many people who didn't get massacred at Waco, who haven't been under the heel, who haven't had a visit and a confiscation of all their property by the Internal Revenue Service or the Drug Enforcement Agency because their neighbor made an anonymous call because their fence is 2 inches off the property line and accused them of dealing drugs and they lost everything that they own. So that's an important point, but that's not what I was looking for. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Bill. Is it, well, I noticed right at the beginning of the movie, the bad guy of the movie was Longshanks, the evil, cruel pagan. Is it paganism that you're talking about versus...
No. In fact, in those days, most probably most of them were pagan.
Right.
Even the ones who belonged to the primitive Christian church probably still practiced a lot of the old ancient pagan rituals.
So how much was of that movie was true, 100%, 90%?
Well, I don't really know, and I don't think anybody really does know. From what I understand of history, it was pretty realistic. It was pretty true to what the history books say. When it comes down to actual dialogue and things like that, I don't really know, and I don't think anybody does. There are legends have grown up around William Wallace, some of which were presented in the movie.
would say he understood the mysteries, or how he studied the history of him, I assume. How would he have understood the mysteries?
Well, back in those days, all religion that was extant came from the mysteries. Most of what they call the profane, or the normal average people on the lower rung of the ladder, understood it as an exoteric interpretation and did not know the real secrets or the real meanings of the mysteries, but they understood that they existed.
Muhammad, he was Catholic in the movie. Muhammad, in reality, wasn't there a lot of Protestants in North and Scotland?
Well, that didn't come until much later.
Oh, right. Okay, I don't know my history. All right, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Bill. This is Greg San Antonio.
Hi, Greg.
How you doing? I'll take a stab at what you're looking for there. Every time something came about, there was a meeting of these nobles. Were these nobles connected with the Scottish Freemasons?
Well, we know that Robert the Bruce was one of the founders of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry in Scotland. And he was one of these noblemen who betrayed William Wallace several times. He eventually led his country to dispel the English invaders and declare their independence. I don't know what changed his mind to do that, but he did it.
That was the only thought I had come to mind. There's always the secret meetings behind the scenes there going on prior to whatever.
Yeah.
I just kept trying to figure where the Masons came into this, since it was Scotland, and you mentioned the Scottish Rite.
Robert the Bruce was instrumental in the establishment of Freemasonry in Scotland. He was one of the big players. In fact, he drew a lot of the old Knights Templars who were running away from the Pope and the King of France to him as supporters and as warriors. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
But that wasn't what I was looking for. 520-333-4578. I'm just absolutely amazed that none of you caught the significance of what I'm talking about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. I saw the movie also, and I think the more pressing matter is I'm listening to your conversation this evening about the Freemen and the militias. Have you made a statement, no more Wacos on your station before?
Yes, many times.
Okay, do you think that if the Freemen are attacked, they should be defended with arms?
Well, it depends upon why they're attacked. If the Freemen start shooting and kill or wound a federal agent, no.
I'm asking if the FBI does an assault like they did at Waco, I'm asking you straight point blank, should they be defended with arms? Can you answer that, Mr. Cooper? Or do you receive money like Mr. Parsons?
Or do I what?
Receive money like Mr. Parsons.
Money from who?
Well, Mr. Parsons, if you understand the situation with Tri-State Militia, was receiving money from the FBI.
Yes.
So I'm asking you, why are you so reluctant and making it look like the FBI are being good guys now?
The FBI are being good guys now.
Okay, well, should we expect them to be good guys? Are they not wolves in sheep's clothing, Mr. Cooper?
Let me tell you something.
Tell me something, sir.
I am going to tell you something.
Yes, let's hear it.
Well, you're going to hear it. You cannot judge someone guilty until they've committed a crime. The FBI are behaving properly. They're behaving with restraint. They have injured no one. They have threatened no one. They are carrying out the orders of their superiors with lawful warrants for the arrest of people who have committed crimes.
Okay, so they have not committed murder in the past, but they have not...
I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about this incident. And maybe these people were never present at anything that happened in the past.
Okay, I would...
What you are doing is what you are accusing the government of doing that you want them to stop.
What am I doing, Mr. Cooper? Asking you questions?
No, you're accusing them of doing something they haven't done yet.
Okay, well, I would just say that I don't think we should trust the FBI as far as we can throw them.
I didn't say I trust them.
Okay, and the reason they're coming on down the Freemen now is probably very much timed with the...
No, the Freemen have committed crimes.
So says the government.
No, they have committed crimes. We've done an investigation, I can tell you right now. They've committed crimes. And if they are right, and if they have not committed crimes, and if they're innocent, Why don't they come in and present their challenges to the jurisdiction and take it through the appeal process and work it through the law?
Because Lanya Hiroshi can get away with the murder, my friend. That's why.
Because what?
Lanya Hiroshi can get away with shooting a woman between the eyes, holding a baby, and get off. That's why. Do you love it?
What has that got to do with this incident in Montana?
Making it look like the judicial system will bring forth honesty and integrity, and that is a complete fallacy.
I didn't say that. I said the Freeman claim that they're right under the law. If they're right under the law, it will stand up in the eyes of the law. The Supreme Court, in its entire history, has always supported the law and the Constitution.
I would say this to the letter that you read earlier. I agree everything what the man said except for using the term entire government. That is a very general...
What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about the particular paper that you read from the militia in Ohio, that if those people are attacked, such as Waco...
Wait a minute. Have you got something to say about our topic tonight?
What, a movie, my friend? Something about history?
Good night, stupid. Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you. I am so sick of you little jerks out there that think, that actually think, in your wildest dreams, that you're going to accomplish anything with that kind of mindset and that kind of rhetoric. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
I would just like to say the thing I picked up most from Braveheart is that one man or one person can make the difference. That's the thing I picked up from the most.
Yes, but that's not what I'm looking for.
No?
You're right about that. One man can make a difference.
Okay, Mr. Cooper, thank you, and please keep up the good work, sir.
You're welcome. And I think I'm a great representative of that. One man can make a tremendous difference in this world. All of you out there listening can make a difference. If you choose the right way, trust in God, and just do it. And make sure it's the right way. Not the stupid way. Not the emotional way. Not the socialist way. Not playing into the hands of the enemies and doing all these stupid things that will bring you to be crushed under their heel. And that's exactly what's going to happen to that last caller. In fact, he may have been the subject of the conversation or the letter that I was reading at the beginning of the program. In fact, I'll bet that he was one of the two people mentioned in the letter. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Could it be that you can't make compromises or deals with the oppressor or the tyrant?
Well, that's certainly an important point, and you're absolutely right about that, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And you are right about that. You cannot make deals with people who lie and cheat and steal and manipulate. You make a deal with them, they just wait until your back is turned and you think everything's okay, and then they will do you in. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper, is it that the responsibility of the nobles that they were figuring that the power, their nobility that they had was for their good and not for, instead of having the their responsibility as nobles was to the common man?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not what I'm looking for either.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
And we're about out of time, so I'm going to give it to you folks. And I just still can't believe that you all missed it. It's beyond my comprehension. They were disarmed. The Scottish people, ladies and gentlemen, were disarmed. And because they were disarmed, they were subjected to slavery by the English invader. So much so that the lord of the manor could ride into their little village where they had a bunch of stones piled over a hole in the ground, that was their home, and take the bride away from the groom on their wedding night to have sexual relationships with her. And the people were so helpless, there was absolutely nothing that they could do about it. Could you imagine living under such a system? Any disarmed people are subject to that kind of slavery, ladies and gentlemen. Any disarmed people. You cannot allow yourself to be disarmed under any circumstances whatsoever. That was the precursor to everything that happened to the Scottish people and to every people who have been enslaved in the entire history of the world, they have first been disarmed. Always. And after being disarmed, according to the research of the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, they have also been subjugated to genocide. Vast populations in the world have been literally exterminated because of that. Now, folks, don't call me anymore with any of these stupid questions like that. You see, because it depends upon circumstance whether I would support defending the Freeman. We have done an investigation. They have committed some crimes. They started out doing the right thing. And if they had eliminated their own debt and their own obligations to the IRS and to the fraud Federal Reserve Bank institution, they would have been all right. But they got greedy, and they started writing checks for millions of dollars. One check was for $7,777,077. Now, what's that all about? Another one, $1.3 million. The $7,777,077 was from one Freeman to another Freeman. That's greed. They stole from their neighbors. One man leased a field, planted wheat. When he came to harvest his wheat, the Freemen were standing there with guns and told him the wheat was now theirs and told him to get out. They filed notices and papers on property that didn't belong to them. And if nobody saw the notice and didn't respond, they took the property. So don't tell me this bullshit. Make sure that the cause that you're ready to die for is a good cause, a right cause, and will not bring shame and disgrace upon all of us. Good night. And God bless you all.